This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Measuring the economy by the chip and by the log. I'm David Brancaccio. We're waiting for the big U.S. jobs report in a bit. Meantime, we have a very different window into the direction of the global economy. One of the biggest makers of microchips, Samsung of South Korea, says its profits in the first 3 months of the year have all but evaporated, and it's cutting its production of memory chips. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more on an industry that is a kind of economic bellwether.
Yeah, and that chip shortage certainly seems like a distant memory. Consumers are simply not buying as much stuff as a year ago, and that includes electronics, everything from laptops to fancy exercise equipment. Demand for semiconductors is down sharply. Chip prices are down to about 70%. And Samsung has felt the pain. It expects first quarter profit to be down 96% compared to a year ago. The company said only that it will make meaningful cuts to chip production. No specifics, though, David, as to how much it will cut.
And Samsung is not alone.
No, it's not. For several months now, chipmakers have been pulling back on costs, planned capital expenditures. We've heard from Qualcomm, Intel, Micron, even Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC, which is the world's largest contract chipmaker. Now, the chipmaking business is notoriously cyclical to begin with, but this has been a dramatic and fast shift. We know consumers have pulled back on spending on goods. Services spending is still in expansion territory, though slowing. Companies are tightening their spending too, worried about a potential recession. They're just not buying a bunch of new laptops. And manufacturing activity is near three-year lows. Lots of manufacturers stocked up on chips last year, and they're burning through their inventories. You know, will the chip making business recover later this year, David? As with the broader economy, right now, it's just too soon to say where we're headed.
All right. Thank you. It's a similar pattern for lumber. Not long ago, a big shortage, supply chain, log jams, and surging demand. But now lumber prices are way down from a year ago, so maybe lower prices for newly built homes? We'll think again. Here's Marketplace's Henry Epp.
Yes, it's way cheaper to buy lumber now than it was a year ago, but that's compared to an unprecedented price spike, says Crystal Govin, a senior economist at Forest Economic Advisors.
As an economist, it ruined our graphs because you have what historically was a lot of volatility just got blown out the window and looks like a straight line now.
But that's not likely to bring down the cost of new homes, Govin says, due mostly to the high cost of pretty much everything else.
We see that in electrical and plumbing and concrete and sheetrock and roofing.
Bart Frisbee is president of contractor Sterling Homes in South Burlington, Vermont.
While lumber has receded, and that is extremely helpful, many of those other costs have not and probably never will.
One big factor, Frisbee says, is labor. Companies that supply him with all those other materials are still having trouble finding enough workers, he says. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Shortly, we'll get the government reports on hiring and unemployment for the month of March. There's been a steady trickle of data this week suggesting the labor market could be cooling, at least some. The typical bet by forecasters is that 238,000 more people were on payrolls last month, which would be lower than the month before. Stock market is closed on this Good Friday. If you insist on some market data with your coffee or tea, the bond market is open until midday Eastern, where we find the 10-year Treasury yield down slightly, 3.31%. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage has dropped over the last week, falling to 6.18% today from 6.57% a week ago. You say, yeah, but mortgages were 2.8% in the summer of 2021. Yes, but that's spilled milk kind of thinking.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now this dam story. Dozens of dams get demolished around the country each year. Maybe they've deteriorated, or taking them out restores rivers and habitat. In North Carolina, conservation and environmental groups and the Eastern Band of Cherokee people want to remove a small dam that's nearly a century old, but this requires federal money. WFAE's David Borax has this story.
The Ela Dam opened in 1925 across the Oconaluftee River in Swain County, North Carolina, on the Tennessee border. Upstream, the river and its tributaries flow through the land of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
Ela Dam has disconnected our entire watershed and our tribal lands for nearly a century.
Joey Owl is the tribe's Secretary of Agriculture and Natural Resources. He says removing the dam would let aquatic species return to Cherokee lands. Some are endangered or at risk, like a fish called the sicklefin red horse, once an important food source.
This dam has served its purpose. Let's get back to restoring nature as it was.
The best way to restore a stream is by removing a dam.
Erin McCombs is with American Rivers, a partner in the Ela Dam proposal. She says the project would restore fish, mussels, and other creatures upstream. The Cherokees have pushed for removal for years without success. That changed in 2021 when the dam's gates opened unexpectedly, sending 8,000 tons of sediment downriver. After that, Owl called the president of the dam's owner, Northbrook Carolina Hydro, and asked, "Can this dam be removed?"
And to my own surprise, they're like, "Yeah, let's get a conversation and let's bring some partners to the table."
Within weeks, they had an agreement. Northbrook's Kurt Whitaker manages the dam. He says given its small size and the potential cost of more repairs or spills, the deal made sense.
We spent money, we tried to do the right thing, and the river is in good shape. And it's nothing that we ever want to go through again.
Northbrook plans to donate the dam to the Cherokees. The tribe has asked U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for $10 million from the 2021 federal infrastructure law to remove it. Tim Gestwicki of North Carolina Wildlife Federation says the project fits the law's intent.
So the money is there. We hope and pray that we won't miss this opportunity.
A decision on funding is expected by June. Permitting and removal could take 3 years. In Swain County, North Carolina, I'm David Borax for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dooler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio. It's Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.